From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, a contentious hearing in Hot Springs over uranium mining exploration is halted after a federal court case is filed. A new public poll suggests a shakeup in the GOP gubernatorial primary race. A look at one soldier who gave his life for his country ahead of Memorial Day weekend. And even more. It's Friday, May 22nd. Here are today's stories. Meetings are on pause for a contentious uranium project in the Black Hills. The Craven Canyon Project hearings near Hot Springs are halted until further notice after several speed bumps in the process. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
The Craven Canyon drill site is about 20 miles away from Hot Springs and north of Edgemont. Many opponents of the project are concerned with the drilling's impact on Lakota cultural sites, including petroglyphs, and potential impacts on drinking water. The hearing process ultimately found more questions than answers about uranium mining in the area, a prospect which had previously been declared a nuisance by Fall River County voters. That culminated in a federal lawsuit filed by mining opponent Elizabeth Lone Eagle against the State Board of Minerals and Environment. Lone Eagle had previously testified in opposition to this project, in which she said language and interpretive access are essential to a fair process. She also contends there's a deeper through line to the extractive business practices in the Black Hills, which highlights over a century of battles.
Different century, same intent. Your disingenuous tactics have no defense legally, morally, or ethically. And there is nothing but a permit denial that will stop it. We are all here watching, and we're not going away.
Among the marquee claims in the Lone Eagle suit is an allegation of, quote, systematic, ongoing, and deliberate denial of meaningful participation to Lakota First Language opponents. Further, the suit claims an active, ongoing, and visible exclusion of these people from the proceedings. Quote, every witness examined without adequate interpretation, every exhibit introduced without translation, every procedural ruling issued without comprehension, and every deadline imposed without meaningful language access compounds an injury that cannot later be undone. The full claims of that suit, addressed in an 18-page filing, can be found online at sdpb.org/news. Clean Nuclear Energy Corporation, the company behind the mining effort, declined to comment on the matter to SDPB. Another issue in this hearing is the use of interpretation services. At issue, how to best ensure every person attending can comprehend the meaning in the language most comfortable to them, while also hiring interpreters who aren't actively tangled in the debate about a particular issue. In the following exchange between Lone Eagle and Mike Lees, State DANR Mineral Mining Program Administrator, Lone Eagle questions the interpretive selection process.
I contacted the University of South Dakota. The only university I contacted was the University of South Dakota Institute of American Indian Studies. That's number 13 on my memo.
Did you contact Oglala Lakota College?
No.
Did you contact Sintigleshka University?
No.
Did you contact Sitting Bull College?
No.
House Bill 1219, passed in the last legislative session, is a bipartisan bill which expanded these interpretive services but came without an emergency clause. That means it doesn't take effect until July 1. Previously, such services were only available for civil or criminal cases. Issues like mining permitting debates seen in Hot Springs did not fall under those classifications. While House Prime sponsor Sioux Falls Democrat Eric Mucky says leaving the emergency clause out was intentional, cases like Hot Springs prove its value.
Let's let the law stand on its own, but also given the timing, it has created some challenges when it comes to the administration actually playing this out, because as we speak today, the conditions technically haven't changed since they have last fall, but that will change. It's an interesting case for a state to say, can we work in good faith with tribal members across the state and give them a real voice in this process, especially given that is largely being contested on the grounds of environmental and cultural concerns.
Mucky says this specific uranium mining question was a key matter in the drafting process of the bill.
The intent behind this, first and foremost, was to navigate this particular case, making sure that Lakota language speakers could participate in the Craven Canyon administrative contested case proceeding, but then also looking ahead to say this obviously has much broader implications for the state than just this particular case.
The bill expands interpretive services provided in the state broadly. That could be a Lakota speaker in the Black Hills, a hearing or visually impaired person in Mitchell, or an Arabic speaker in Sioux Falls, who are now entitled to these interpretive services. While representing a step in the right direction, though, Muckey says there's still questions he'd like to address in future legislative efforts.
This is part of, I think, what will become a broader reform for administrative law going forward as far as how we're able to participate in it as South Dakotans. There's a lot of, in my opinion, there are still outstanding concerns around a cabinet secretary's ability to override decisions made on a particular rule as far as like a neutral hearing.
It's unclear when the hearings will resume. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
A new public poll shows a shakeup at the top of the GOP Republican primary race for governor, though some candidates are pushing back at the results. A new poll conducted by Emerson College has Aberdeen businessman Toby Doden leading the GOP governor's primary race. It was commissioned by Kello TV. Doden sits at 26%, U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson at 23%, incumbent Governor Larry Roden at 19%, and Speaker of the State House John Hansen at 16%. 15% of respondents said they're still undecided. While the poll shows Doden appears to have taken the lead, it shows a credibility interval, which acts like a margin of error of 4.7%. However, the polling shows an 8-point jump for Doden from a Kello TV Emerson College poll in March. Johnson dropped 5%. Both Roden and Hansen saw a 2% increase. Speaker Hansen took to social media saying, quote, "The poll does not reflect what we are seeing on the ground, nor internally, at all." Meanwhile, Doden says that his internal polling looks even better. Johnson told SDPB that it's hard to say because different polling gives such different numbers.
In general, our numbers are pretty consistent with all of the other public polling, which puts me in the low to mid-30s. So this Kelloland poll, it might be an outlier, but I think it's bad politicians that attack polling. And so I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say who knows what the reality is. It doesn't really change our focus.
A South Dakota Newswatch Cheeseman Center for Democracy poll last month had Johnson at 34%. Roden did not acknowledge a poll on social media. His campaign manager did not respond to SDPB texts or phone calls Thursday on the matter. To avoid a runoff, a candidate needs at least 35% of the vote June 2nd. South Dakota has never seen a runoff for governor. The winner faces Democrat Dan Ahlers in November. A South Dakota Navy veteran will be laid to rest next week with full military honors decades after he gave his life in service to the country. Thomas Ruth was born in Desmet, South Dakota in 1917. He served in the South Dakota National Guard and Reserve Officers Training Corps, or ROTC, at South Dakota State College before joining the U.S. Navy. He was a lieutenant junior grade. Ruth's final mission was Operation Toenails during World War II. It was an Allied invasion of the new Georgia Islands. The goal was to capture a Japanese airfield. Lieutenant J.G. Thomas Ruth is one of the pilots that took off to provide air support for the landings of that mission. He led one of the two 8-plane groups in the morning of June 30, 1942. They battled incoming Japanese aircraft. A dogfight ensued and American pilots shot down 3 planes, including one by Ruth. Later that afternoon, U.S. ground control reported enemy bomber aircrafts. Ruth and his group flew to intercept the Japanese bombers. As the American formation dove over the Japanese bombers, Ruth's team lost contact with him. Ruth did not return to base following the battle. He was officially presumed dead in 1946. After a search team couldn't find traces of the wreckage, it was believed Ruth crashed in deep water. His remains were declared non-recoverable. Richard Jenkins is a Navy casualty POW MIA branch head. In the mid-1940s,
the wartime U.S. Graves team, so the American Graves Registration Service, they recovered some human remains from an aircraft there in Lumbetti Plantation area of New Georgia, but officials at that time couldn't positively identify those remains as being Lieutenant Ruth.
However, new technology and genealogy changed that outcome. Decades later, in 2013, a joint POW-MIA accounting command investigation team found a Wildcat crash site. Further research and analysis indicated the remains found could be Lieutenant J.G. Ruth's. The remains were disinterred in 2019 and confirmed to be Ruth's with a positive family reference sample in April last year. He's to be buried in Jackson, Minnesota, May 27th at Riverside Cemetery with full military honors. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. The South Dakota Department of Health has announced the first two consulting organizations to support the state's rural health transformation project. The state is set to receive $189 million from the federal program this fiscal year. During the legislative session, Department of Health leaders assured lawmakers the funds would be disseminated through contracts rather than grow state government. North Star Solutions LLC is based in Sioux Falls. It's been awarded a nearly $1.5 million contract. According to a statement from the DOH, North Star Solutions will manage the application process for a grant related to modernizing health technology. Black Hills Special Services Cooperative has been tapped to oversee the chronic disease management portion of the Rural Health Transformation Program. The press release did not specify the amount of that contract. The DOH has shared a funding forecast to explain upcoming grant application deadlines. That information can be found at ruralhealthtransformation.sd.gov. A South Dakota man is sentenced to life in federal prison after authorities say he intentionally lit a fire that left one person dead and another hurt. 52-year-old Reno Rondo of Manderson was previously convicted of first-degree murder. That's according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, District of South Dakota. It stems from an incident in October of 2024. Prosecutors say Rondo lit a home on fire even though he knew his brother and a woman were inside. The woman, Tanya White Butterfly, died in the fire. Rondo's brother was injured trying to save her. Rondo was found guilty in federal court at a trial earlier this year. Nearly a decade after it started pumping oil, the Dakota Access Pipeline receives a federal permit allowing it to continue operating. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers officially granted the project a permit to cross under the Missouri River's Lake Oahe Reservoir in North Dakota. The project saw pushback, particularly from the Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes, when it first began operating in 2017. A federal judge ordered the Corps of Engineers to perform an environmental study in 2020. The pipeline was allowed to continue operating while the study took place. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.